So as an enterprise, we started securing internal networks. And so as we were testing, you'd find less and less from remotely exploitable vulnerabilities. There are patches going out left and right. They're locking down accounts. You find very little after a pen test. But you find a lot when it comes to websites, internal websites specifically. So you find cross-site scripting, and you go, what can you do with the cross-site scripting on an inside? Well, the answer, as you'll see, is owning a domain. So we're going to spend about 5-10 minutes here giving a history of the protocols. If you already know what LM and NTLM is, take a quick nap. LM, LAN Manager, really old, really dead. I mean, really dead. Just get rid of it. There are options in Windows that says don't do LM. Never, ever, ever do LM. NTLM replaced it. It's called New Technology LAN Manager. It is a suite of protocols and an encryption method. Well, it's not really an encryption method. It's a hash. It's also known as NTLM 0.12. So if you see that described or listed, that's what NTLM is. And of course, Kerberos is Microsoft's variant of Kerberos. It's pretty strong, and a lot of the things you'll hear today can be resolved by using Kerberos specifically. A nonce, in cryptographic terms, is a number used once. It's used to help defeat replay attacks. So if you were to intercept a communication with encryption, using a nonce would not allow you to reverse that easily. Now, it can be reversed or use it easily, but it just helps from replay protection. SSPI, SP negotiation, IWA, they're all Microsoft definitions of how to do security, how to do authentication within Windows. All right, so your basic Windows authentication is a challenge response scheme. So you kind of look at it as three different types. Your type one is when your client says, hey, I want to talk to you. Type two, the server responds, all right, here's what I want to talk to you about. Here's how I want to talk to you. Here is the nonce for it, and the domain name, and the host name, and a bunch of other junk. And in type three, the client responds, sweet, here's my stuff. I'm going to encrypt, I'm going to use NTLM, I'm going to do all this stuff, and here you go. At the end, the server is going to go, all right, I'll verify that your hashes are right, that things compute correctly, you're allowed, you're authenticated, and off you go with your session. So, as I said earlier, LAN Manager is a total rotted corpse. If you have it, you shouldn't. Your password is converted to uppercase, so who cares about case anymore? It is null padded or truncated, as the case may be, to 14 bytes total. So if you have a 15-character or a 20-character password, doesn't matter. The LM is not going to care about those last characters. It's going to stop at 14. It's going to split those into two halves of 7 bytes each. It's going to create some DES keys. It's going to convert each half to a bit stream, make a 0 bit, and then DES encrypt a standard string with each of those ciphertexts, so with each of the DES keys. And the result is your LM hash. Now, if you know cryptography even just a little bit, you can see many flaws in this. And honestly, that's all I'm going to talk about on that. The NTLM, as I said, is both a hash result and a protocol. Well, there are two types of NTLM protocols, NTLM v1 and NTLM v2. Well, in v1, your clear text is turned into Unicode and made in MD4. That is your NTLM hash. That is all an NTLM hash is. All the previous things that LAN Manager did, just MD4 Unicode, that's it. Now, in V1, you create a null pad of 21 bytes. You create 3 DES keys. You encrypt the key with a nonce. You concatenate to create the type 3 response. So in that response to the type 2 request from the server, the client is going to make this NTLM hash and is going to follow all these steps with a server value of the nonce, encrypt it with these DES keys, and put it in the protocol. Now, in version 2, it is much more advanced. It's very similar, though. In that you still have the NTLM hash, but now the domain name and the username are put together. The MD5 of the hash and that concatenated unicoded grouping is an MD5 now. Now, a timestamp is used to create a client nonce and some static data. The MD5 of that is well, the blob that's created in step 4 and the MD5 from step 3 are MD5'd again. And this is now the NTLM hash that is put into the authentication protocol. That's very complex for in V2 now. So in V1, you had just the server-side nonce given to the client. He unicodes everything, encrypts it, and passes it out. So if you're looking at capturing that data, you now have the nonce, and you have the NTLM or part. So you can then create a rainbow table and look it up and find all the results. Well, then V2, they realized that's a bad idea. They realized a long time ago, actually. And they added a lot more, it's not really randomness, as is just more things to create. So you can't easily reverse this or look it up in a creation table because all of this is generated by default or during the negotiation phase. And so, as I said, there's an also authentication protocol in NTLM V2. It's very confusing. I really don't like how they kept it all the same, but in the session of NTLM V2, the LAN manager is never used. So if you're doing the NTLM V2 protocol, you're never even if you have LAN manager stored, it's never going to be used. So all this stuff is beyond the slides. I don't want to spend too much more time on it because in essence, this is just background knowledge, and there's more pretty stuff coming up. So the NTLM protocol is used everywhere because it's been around for so long. Microsoft products, of course, have it all over the place. Samba, Apache, and PAM, all your browsers can support it in some ways, your proxy servers, your iPhone, your OS X, your Windows CE, your toaster, everything does. Because NTLM has been around, it's a well-known protocol. And of course, the IMAP for the iPhone, the 3G, supports NTLM V2. Well, as you saw, it's pretty strong. The clear text is not converted to uppercase, the password's not broken into blocks of 7 bytes, the DES is not so good, but you know all the other stuff added on top, it's pretty decent at least. The nonces don't protect against pre-computed attacks, rainbow table attacks. But in the grand scheme of things, the protocol is good, but you must treat the hashes, the actual MD4 of the Unicode clear text and the actual LM, the NTLM hashes, as clear text. Because when an attacker obtains those things, he doesn't need to decrypt them into clear text. He can use them in the protocol. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes here. So why am I saying NTLM is dead? You just heard all this great stuff about it. Well, it survives because it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. Why do you want to get rid of it? Well, you've got replay protection. You've got mixed case support. You've got nonces. It all sounds really good. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. In an enterprise, you have single sign-on. Everybody in security loves and hates single sign-on. For those that don't aware of single sign-on, you basically enter a password one time and you never enter that password again until you leave or never. So in this case, your ciphertext, your LM and your NTLM hashes, they exist within your system after you log in. And so when you enter your password, those hashes, they're stored in your system. They're stored in your computer for a very long time. And it also means that authentication with single sign-on can happen at any time, and not just when a user wants it. So an application or a system service can say, hey, I want to talk to this server. And it's happening in a task in the background, or it could be a web browser or web browsing, making connection to a web server. It's happening without the user's knowledge. Well, that's the idea of single sign-on. The user doesn't have to know those kind of things. So let's take a quick walk down memory lane of the attacks. And there are many attacks against NTLM and Land Manager. First, I want to talk about our threat model here. The protocols presuppose an enterprise, Windows domain, Active Directory, and they suppose that, you know, you're going to be inside. So our threat model here is an insider. It doesn't mean that there's not an external threat. In fact, there have been a couple presentations, one at Black Hat, and I think there was one coming up soon, of an outsider able to force a browser to authenticate with NTLM from a Java applet. So it doesn't mean, I'm not saying here that this is only an insider threat. All right, the first attack is called protocol downgrade. Now, as you recall in the very beginning, the NTLM and LAN Manager protocols first negotiate what they want to speak. The client says, hey, I want to talk NTLM, I want you to do signing, I want you to do seal it, etc. The server usually has to honor that, but he may go stronger. So he may say, no, I want you to do NTLM v2. I want you to do 128-bit encryption, which I haven't seen that actually implemented, but once everything is agreed upon, the session is created and the authentication steps move forward. Well, if you can get in the middle of that and you can say to either side, no, do LAN Manager in clear text. And if either side allows that, then they will not use the nonces. They'll do the authentication in clear text or in the hashes themselves without a security nonce. It's been around for a while. Most Windows machines now will not answer those kind of things. You can force through security policy and GPO only do NTLM v2. So if I as a server, as a rogue server, say, no, do NTLM v1. I don't want that other crap. No. Your client's going to say, no, I want v2 only. Well, that's good. There's also replay attacks. So, as I said earlier, the LANman and NTLM hashes must be considered the equivalent of a clear text password. There are tools called pass the hash, or that implement pass the hash, and it's a very common method of taking the hash, doing the authentication, and going forward. So the whole point of making the MD4 result, don't need it. And there are a lot of these types of tools available. And here are just a few of them. The ways you get hashes, fgdump, pwdump, canenable, pass the hash toolkit, metasploit, canvas core, blah, 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 you know, there's a whole bunch of them. And passing the hash, well, you can find anything that does SMB as a tool and modify it for pass the hash. I did a quick modification of metasploit and had passed the hash within 5 minutes. Canvas and Core Impact have had that for a while too. You can create any tool that you have the source for, and FizzGig's had a ton of these things for Samba. I've got one for NTLM APS as a proxy server for NTLM web applications. So hash, clear text, same thing. Now we're really getting back in 2001 here. It's something called SMB Relay. The original attack was something that came out and just rocked our worlds. I think this was kind of the reason NTLM v2 came around. I'm not entirely certain. Maybe someone can be aware of that. But the SMB Relay acted as a rogue SMB server. He'd listen to connections, so you'd force a client to connect to him. He would make the SMB authentication, strip out all the good bits, and then allow you to make a connection back to that system and, you know, make a share basic connection. So in 2001, this was a big deal. Sir Distic added some NetBIOS name support in version 2. The tool is still available. It's okay, but Metasploit to the rescue. let's redo it in Ruby. Why not? So now it's an attack module inside Metasploit. Same concept, you direct SMB requests to it, and it now can connect back to the workstation or connect to a destination SMB server. So when a user connects to you, you do your authentication, you say, here's your nonce, and then you also communicate to the server and go, hey, what's your nonce? And you make the connections. So you're basically passing all the data you need to authenticate from this one connection. Now, it works great if the users are administrators, because one thing it wants to do is PSExec or install the interpreter on there or whatever payload you want to put on there. So in some cases, your local users are no longer administrators. So this attack has very little usefulness other than capturing hashes with static nonces, perhaps, and trying to crack them later. Well, that can take a lot of time. You can't reuse those hashes because they have the client nonce. And so you have a lot of steps to go to get from that protocol, authentication protocol hash, to clear text. All right, so you can also find more information from last year's tactical exploitation talk. There's some more talks coming up about post-exploitation fun. But in general, this talk here is going to be about the protocol. And you can stop this for now with Intel MV2, but I won't say it will do it forever, because it's only a matter of time before we complete the Intel MV2 parts of Metasploit, or it gets put into Canvas if Dave ever gets off his, so the protocol is well known, V2 protocol is well known. These types of man-in-the-middle type attacks, really, Intel MV2 does not stop this. All right, so now we're getting to kind of a new idea I had of taking these old attacks and beefing them up, making them useful. So the NTLM protocol, the authentication protocol, is used over a lot of 7-bit protocols like HTTP, IMAP, POP3, NNTP, SMTP. As you saw, the iPhone does it. So all it does is takes these different type messages that are, very well bit formatted and converts them to base64 and passes them over these 7-bit protocols. So let's use these. Now, in Internet Explorer, you have a thing called a trust zone. There have been many talks about the trust zone, what it is, why it's there. Now, if your browser, your IE browser, is in the trust zone, it will do more things. One of those things would be instantiation of ActiveX or COM objects that might not be as secured, so he's not going to be, if you're internet zone, he won't instantiate some objects, but if you're intranet, he will. Now, this is a very busy slide. In essence, it says, here's when the browser just believes you're in the intranet zone. The last bullet here is kind of the key. If the computer name portion of the URL contains periods, i.e. assumes the requested address exists on the internet and will not pass any credentials. But if the browser has without no periods, so let's say you get into an environment and you can create a NetBIOS name, you can create a server that IE will authenticate to, because IE will believe this browser is in the intranet. And also forcing trust zones, localhost is an intranet zone. John Heisman had a great write-up on creating a Java applet that runs a web server, which does exactly what I'm doing here with NTLM. Responding as authentication request, capturing it with a static nonce, and passing it off to some internet server for later cracking with your favorite cracker or rainbow tables or whatever. As long as you have that static nonce, there's a rainbow table out there with that static nonce. So you can easily, or not easily, but it takes time, but at least get something out of that. Mozilla supports NTLM. Surprise. I was surprised. If you go into About Config, you can integrate or use the integrated Windows authentication by giving it a list of URIs. Or it's kind of funky. It's not great. You can put asterisk in there, and it'll think everything is in the internet. So it'll do, if you're on the internet and you have an asterisk in there, and someone says, hey, authenticate, it'll try. You can also do just NTLM. Forget about the GSS lib stuff. And the Firefox 3 does understand zones, but he doesn't care about it for the integrated authentication, which is really the part I'm most interested in and talking about here. And there are other browsers, of course. Who doesn't like Opera or Safari or wget? Who doesn't? But they have varying degrees of support, so you must go through like a proxy server. So if you have you can either type in your password and ID and password every time from Safari if you're like on a Mac, or you can set up a proxy browser that you load it up, type in your password, and it creates that hash, and every time you connect through it, if it says, hey, I want to authenticate, it'll authenticate. So in most cases, other browsers don't really have good NTLM support. So quickly, here is how the authentication works. You're an end user. You want to talk to a server. Over HTTP, you go, hey, I want to get this page. Server goes, oh, wait, authenticate first. Yeah, I need some credentials. I'm not going to let you just look it at my home page. Come on. You're going to send your type 1. The beginning, it says, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. He's going to come back with the type 2. It says, you talk this. You talk with NTLM V2. You do whatever. And you go, okay, here's my type 3 result. Server checks the validation of your credentials, your authentication, your authorization, and says, okay, here's the home page now. So that's all NTLM authentication in HTTP. Real simple, 3 steps, not bad. So let's talk about a monkey in the middle attack. We now have a rogue server that we have an end user talk to us, says, hey, I want to talk to this page. The rogue server talks to the server and goes, hey, I want to talk to this page. Server goes, no, you must authenticate. The rogue server goes back and goes, hey, you got to authenticate. We're in the middle, in a way. All right, here's my type 1 information. Pass it along to the server. Server responds to this type 2 information. We just pass that right along to the client. Oh, here's my type 3 information. All right, here's your type 3 information. And okay, now you got a session. You can do whatever you want. You keep your HTTP session open with a 1.1, and then you close the end user. Now you're running as that end user as your rogue server. So it's very easy and quick to do. So as I said, by directing a browser to you as a rogue server, you're able to do authentication. Now NTLM V2, as I said, you just pass it on through. I don't care about all the extra steps you do. I'm just shoveling it back and forth, saying, all right, here you go. Privilege if possible, SMB relay. You had to do a lot of tricks, or some tricks, not too many. This was shown 2004 at SciScan. There was an HTTP to SMB link. It's written in JSIFs, but I never saw any code. Maybe you have. We think someone at Microsoft got to them. In late 2007, I put together a quick variation of this for Metasploit. I also did HTTP to POP3 bridge. It was easy. And earlier this year, another researcher, Eric Rackner, did a scurvy tool, which is very similar. So it's taken a lot of time from the original idea of authentication and being in the middle to where we are today to show that this protocol itself is just done with. So, my tool of the day is called Squirtle. Squirtle is the bet king. Now, it is a rogue server, but it has more of a desire to control people, control end clients. It does not require a man in the middle techniques. So you don't have to do art poisoning. You don't have to do DNS redirection. You can do DNS stuff. However you get people to Squirtle, that's fine. It does require that the end user be in the trusted zone or do all the authentication of NTLM. And then, of course, you do have to direct the browsers to Squirtle. Now, he's doing something I'm calling pass the duchy. We've had pass the hash. We're not using hashes. We're using duchies now. So, the idea in Squirtle is when a client connects, I'm going to create a session key. So when that client reconnects to me, I've got a session, and I can talk back to that client in some way. Keep alives are used from the client side. There's some JavaScript in there. So the client will like wait 5 seconds, 10 seconds, whatever you want, and then talk back to Squirtle and say, hey, I'm still here. All right, good. An evil agent can now request that one of those controlled clients do an authentication with a given nonce or an entire type 2 message, etc. Evil agents are protected in a way from basic auth because you don't want to put anyone out there, you know, to control this stuff. And of course, I maintain state, so because you have to. The clients are connecting to us; they got to know when it's time to do their authentication. So here's a nice little page that takes a long time doing in these stupid presentation tools, but it's pretty cool. So we begin with our Squirtle server and our evil agent. They're two different little things. You can see that. That's good. Squirtle's sitting there just waiting for people to talk to him. Your evil agent is wanting to talk to something else. We've got a bunch of clients, ABC. We've got a corporate homepage, and we've got an enterprise server. Now, everything's kind of set up here, so the evil agent wants to talk to the corporate server. The clients, when they open up the browser, they're going to go to the corporate homepage. So they're going to go, hey, I open my browser, I open IE. First thing they're going to do, load up www.homepage.com or whatever. Well, inside that homepage, there may be a cross-site scripting attack. Never have that at inside, right? Your insides are perfect. Well, one cross-site scripting attack is all it takes to force all these clients to call Squirtle and go, hey, how you doing? And Squirtle calls back and says, all right, you're now under my control. So now all of these clients, their IE instances, are sitting there just going, hey, Squirtle, hey, authenticate, please. Okay, Squirtle, here's authentication. Thank you. And now I've got this table. I used a nonce already defined. Could be 414141, could be 411123234, whatever you want. And so I have this list of hashes that I can go out and crack with. Very easy. And in an enterprise that you have a cross-site scripting on the main page or any page people go to a lot, you now have all these hashes to collect and to crack. Wow, that's... And the user didn't notice it because it happened in the background. It happened without their knowledge. All right, so now we're going to care about just one user, user A, in session one. He's going to call Keep Alive. Hey, Squirtle. Hey, client. Nothing for you. Okay. Now, as an evil agent, we're going to want to talk to this enterprise server. Now, this enterprise server can be SMB, it can be NetBIOS SMB, it can be HTTP, it can be IMAP, it can be whatever you want. He's going to send back the negotiation, part of that whole type 2 stuff. And he's going to give you a nonce to connect with, to encrypt your hashes with. Well, as an evil agent, you don't have the LM or NTLM hashes to make that happen yet. So you're going to pass that to Squirtle and go, hey, I think I want to use user A, session 1, and I want him to authenticate with this nonce. So now we have inside Squirtle a little table waiting and says, hey, I've got a request for user A, session 1. Here's a type 2 message I want him to authenticate with. When user A does a keep alive back to Squirtle, hey, Squirtle. Squirtle goes, hey, authenticate. I got a list for you. You need to do authenticate now. And he goes, okay, here's my type 2 message. Oh, awesome. Okay, then you can shut up now. Now, that response... Oh, this is wrong. It should be type 2. Whatever. It's type 3. Sorry. It is type 3. That's right. So the type 3 response goes back to the evil agent, and because it has everything they needed to authenticate with, he sends it along to the server and says, okay, you completed. Now you have a session. SMB, IMAP, HTTP, whatever you want, through the magic of a cross-site scripting, one cross-site scripting, in the enterprise. So what does it mean? In the past, SMB relay attacks, they've been man-in-the-middle type things, and they don't work if your users are not administrators. Well, it can work, but not really. Or you're forcing against one server. So it's a very limited attack in everybody comes to you, you authenticate to one server as all of those people. That kind of gets noticed. What Squirtle is doing is authenticating when you, the attacker, want it, not all the time. Now, of course, it does presuppose that the clients are always connected and doing their keep alive. That's up to you as the attacker to figure out how to hold on to an IE browser for a few hours. Maybe you can do that, maybe you're not. Now, by taking our clients, controlling them, corralling them in Squirtle, and using an API to all these other written tools, you don't need to worry about grabbing clients as an attacker. Squirtle grabs them all for you or holds on to them. So you just say, hey, I want to authenticate. And you let Squirtle do the passing of the messages. So as the API allows you to just kind of be there. And any framework, Metasploit, Core, Canvas, whatever, can easily be modified to obtain clear text or dual authentication without the clear text hashes. So I came up with this because after every test, we would find people go, ah, you found cross-site scripting. What are you going to do, port scan me? Well, okay, I'm going to own your enterprise. You gave me this, you know, push, basically. You know, as hackers, we all kind of sit around and we like things, we go tinker with things, but you give us a challenge, we're going to start looking at things a little deeper. So think about all your internal instances of problems, your cross-site scriptings in your blogs, in your PHP nukes that some group put up because they heard about it on the internet at one point. Or let's say you gain one person's access credentials and you can now modify the home page in some way. There's a lot of things you can do, and now you can own the enterprise. Now, this list is just kind of the major controller API functions. The evil agents communicate over HTTP to Squirtle. They send basic, list all my sessions, list all your hashes, list a specific session key, redirect that person to somewhere else because I don't care about them anymore. I want to get them away, etc. So these are functions you can code up as an API. Everything comes back as a JSON results. All right. Where are we in time? Oh, good. So we're going to do one demonstration right now, and it's going to be a video because doing these things with like an enterprise and setting them all up is just a pain in the butt. So this is a quick web proxy demo. So I've modified the NTLM APS proxy. Now, if you're not familiar with what this does, it's an automatic proxy for the web. It's written in Python, real sweet, real quick way of doing it. It does all the message passing, and it is NTLM v2 approved. So let's bring up our doobie-doop-dee. Let's see how this looks. Aye. All right, so we're going to run Squirtle first, and he's going to run with all this specifics. Oops, too far. I've got a domain of victim, I've got a test server, capture nonce, my static nonce I'm going to use, etc. It's going to create a database. Right now it does SQLite. Everything is nice and happy and running good. So here we have a user, user 1, part of the victim domain. He's going to pull up IE, and the first thing he's going to do is go to this Who Am I page. Just a basic authentication page, says who you are, some other junk which is just troubleshooting stuff. And right now, this Squirtle's not doing anything, he's just waiting for people to talk to him. So I'm going to jump to another session here. I'm going to try to connect to this server. I'm going to get the authentication required message. This is basically IE saying, I want you to do NTLM authentication. Well, I can't do that as an attacker yet because I don't have the credentials. So, that's ugly. But you can see he's saying, put the authentication header in there. So now we've got Squirtle listening. Now, this is just a very quick way of directing people to my attacker device. So now Squirtle is controlling this one browser. You can see that there is a session key created. The authorization info there. Let me pause that as he finds it. Alright, so you've got your session key here that you're going to use to communicate with this client. He's going to use user 1. This is basically saying, here is the result from NTLM and line manager request. So you can now take this with your static nonce table, look it up in rainbow tables, and have fun. Or in this case, just, look at it. So we're going to take the key. We're going to go over to our NTLM APS session. We're going to, now you can see past the hash in there. We're going to set it up. Right now, it's running only as a single user at a time, so I'm going to pass it the key. You can just put any junk in here. Now he's listening on 5115. I'm going to go change curl over to connect to the browser. Hopefully those in the bottom can see that. And it takes a little time because remember, the clients have like a 5 or a 10 seconds, whatever you define, timeout value. So there might be a client just waiting there and he's going to authenticate and he's going to come back and he's going to go, oh, okay, now I do the authentication. So it takes a few seconds. But when you're done, this is the main page, index.asp, default.html, whatever. I don't have anything in there, so I get the generic IIS. There's nothing here. But I'll add the Who Am I ASP on here. And 5-10 seconds go by, as you wait. So it's not a very quick attack, but it's great because there you go. You've now authenticated as that user. So that user's sitting there on the browser just kind of hanging out. You're saying, all right, authenticate. Now you're victim one, you're user one. So now think about this in an entire enterprise of having control over 500 users, 1,000 users. How many of those users have high-level privileges that you can now connect with? And of course, I had to show it in Safari because it's a Mac and, hey, I can't do that in Safari. Yes, you can. Okay, so I think that's the end of that video. Go back. Stop. Whatever. Okay. So you can do the same thing with SMB client. So if you're really good at writing libcurl or HTTP requests in C, you can take SMB client from Samba and modify it to use Squirtle in the same fashion. I don't have it quite done yet. I was actually modifying the IM packet version, which is a bit weird. But of course, there is more to do. There's always more to do. The NTLM APS integration is pretty complete. The SMB client one is almost complete. The IMAP proxy is not so complete. Any proxy When you're thinking of attacking clients, or you're thinking of a rogue system that you want to connect with, or an agent, anything that keeps a TCP connection open is really good. The UPI map proxy does that, and it does it to kind of hold off the load on the server, so it will keep lives on the TCP, and it keeps things open and going. So if you decide to do some stuff on that, keep your TCP connections open as long as you can, because it takes 5 seconds for a reauthentication. And of course, I still need to work on some administrative functions, some integration with MySQL, Postgres, etc., and real-world testing to make sure that I actually will do 500 to 1,000 clients, maybe someday. So the code right now is available at Google Code. You can look up code.google.com, Squirtle. And as always, we have to figure out what are our defenses against this. How can we protect ourselves? Well, turn off www.authenticate.ntlm from your web servers. This is essentially what we're abusing. So you enforce the negotiation, which requires Kerberos. For SMTP, IMAP, etc., go to Kerberos. Will it hold? We'll see. Now in IIS, you can easily make this change on every server with this one command, this C script. But you have to do it to every single instance number. So it's kind of a pain in the butt. And there's no GUI out there, but I'm sure we're smart Windows people, we can figure it out. Now it will break anything that does NTLM or require NTLM. Price you pay. Unfortunately, the client, the IE browsers, you cannot force them. Well, I have not found a way to force them not to respond to NTLM. Now, if there is a way out there, please let me know. I'll update slides. I'll put it up. You know, here's the information about it. You know, I'll try to get the information out as much as I can. But honestly, you're still vulnerable to responding to NTLM v1 unless you've required v2 as part of their GPO or policy. And at least with NTLM v2, the decryption will take a while. Now, long isn't defined as in the number of time this is in. I mean, it's encryption, it's decryption, things take time. So that's it. Special thanks to Natron and Parity for keeping me interested in this. I've been thinking about this for like a year, and here we are.